إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, in this, the 12th lecture in our series, concerning the explanation of the essay, At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li Shajarat al-Iman, by Shaykh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir As-Sa'di rahimahullah. We would like to continue in the third section of this essay, in which he has mentioned the fawaid of iman and the thamarat of iman, the benefits and the fruits of al-iman. And we have mentioned previously from this section the joy and satisfaction of being under the wilayah or the guardianship of Allah is from the fruits of iman, as well as winning the pleasure of Allah and the home of honor in the next life, the Jannah. And that the perfect iman, al-iman al-kamil, which includes the conviction that is in the heart and that is pronounced on the tongue and then is acted upon, that this perfect iman prevents one from entering the fire. And even the imperfect iman, in which a person has fallen short, either in fulfilling the obligatory duties or by engaging in the prohibited things, that iman even prevents a person, if not from entering the fire, at least from remaining in it eternally. Then we mentioned that due to the iman of the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends them, and that iman and the good deeds, which are a branch of iman, produce al-hayat al-tayyibah, the good life in this world, as well as in the next. The last point which we mentioned, and time did not allow us to complete, it is the point that the Shaykh Abdurrahman As-Sa'di rahimahullah mentions, that from the fruits and the benefits of al-iman is that all of the actions and speech of a person would not be considered correct or complete, or would only be considered correct and complete in accordance with the iman or the ikhlas that is in the heart of that person. Yani a person's actions as well as their speech would all be judged in consideration of the iman and the ikhlas that is in their heart. Therefore, the correctness, the tasheeh of one's actions and speech, the correctness of it as well as the takmeel of it, the perfection or completeness of speech and actions, it is dependent upon the level of iman and the level of ikhlas that is in the heart of that person. Therefore, a person's actions will be correct or will be complete and perfect in accordance with the correctness and the completeness or the perfection of their iman and their ikhlas. Therefore, this is a fundamental that before everything else, our concern should be tasheeh, the correctness and takmeel, following it, the completion and perfection of our actions and deeds by concentrating on al-iman, by correcting our iman and completing our iman. Here the Shaykh in this point, which we have discussed already, the first part of it with the tafsir that the Shaykh has mentioned, we'll just review it quickly. He has said that it is for this reason that Allah mentioned this shart, this condition, which is the foundation upon which every deed would be based. This shart, the shart of iman, the condition of iman. In the, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 94, فَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فلا كفران لسعيه وإن له كارون. That whoever does الصالحات, righteous deeds, وهو مؤمن, while he is a believer, يعني with those deeds being based on iman, then his deeds would not be rejected, يعني his efforts would not be rejected or lost, but it would be recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also mentioned the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 19, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. That whoever intends the next life, yani whoever gives preference to al-akhirah, the next life, over the dunya, the life of this world, striving for the greater reward of the next life, whoever intends the next life, وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and then he strives and struggles and makes the necessary effort, the effort that is due. وَسَعَ, he does his action and his deed, he works towards it, but with the way, in the way that is required. سَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, يعني the sa'a, or the action that is يعني necessary in order to earn the next life. وَهُوَ مُؤْمِن, while he is a believer, يعني with the condition that he is a believer, then these are those whose effort would be appreciated, it would be thanked, it would be mashkura, يعني it would be rewarded. It is those who intend the next life and then make the necessary effort, do for it, do the actions that are necessary while having iman, with the condition of iman, then these are those whose deeds would not be lost, but their deeds would be appreciated, it would be thanked, it would be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh said, yani he defined the effort, that is the effort of the next life, sa'y al-akhirah. What is meant in this ayat? يعني whoever intended the next life, وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا, and he struggled or strove or made the effort that is necessary for the next life. He said this sa'yu, this effort for the next life, it is the deeds, the amal, that gets one near to the next life, that brings one close to the next life. This action and these deeds, which are in accordance with what Allah has legislated upon the tongue of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani it means that the one who intends the next life and strives for the next life, it means that that person does deeds. They have to do good deeds. And those deeds have to be in accordance with the Sharia, in accordance with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he mentioned the condition of iman. Yani if these actions are based upon iman, yani if they are rooted in iman, then in that case his effort would be mashkuran, maqbulan, muda'afan. Yani his effort would be appreciated and it would be accepted. Indeed, it would be multiplied. Not the least amount would be lost, not even the weight of a small ant or an atom's weight. Then that was what we mentioned last week. And the rest of this point, in the rest of the point, the Shaykh says, he goes on to say that as for the one, the deed or the action, the amal, which doesn't have iman, which is not based on iman, the iman is missing from that action, then he said the one who does such action, even if they spent their whole night and their whole day, then their action and their deed would not be accepted. No matter what effort they made, whoever does any deed and that deed is missing the element or the condition of iman, then no matter whatever effort they made, it would never be accepted. And this is yani indicated from amongst the evidences for it is what the Shaykh has mentioned from Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 25, verse 23. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we went forth, or we will turn towards that which they have done, meaning the kuffar, the disbelievers. مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ. Every deed or any deed that they have done, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He turns towards it, that deed, He said it would be useless. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Then we will make it as though it is a floating dust particle that is scattered. Scattered floating dust particles. Yani something that no one can get hold of, and it will be of no benefit to that person. All of their deeds would be wasted, it would be useless, it would be in vain. They would get no benefit from it. And that, the Shaykh says, that is because that deed, it is based on something other than the iman in Allah and His Messenger, which has as its core or its essence the al-ikhlas lil-ma'bud wal-mutaba lil-rasul. Yani, he said that these deeds which would be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is because they are not based on the true iman in Allah, al-iman billahi wa rasulihi. It is not based on the true iman in Allah and His Messenger, which has as its heart or its core, its essence, the ruh. And the ruh of that iman, it is two things. The essence of it, the core of it is al-ikhlas, sincerity, lil-ma'bud, for the one that is worshipped, that is Allah. And al-mutaba'atu, following or strictly adhering to ar-rasul, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the core of the true iman, whose deeds are accepted and rewarded by Allah, it is the iman that contains these two elements, al-ikhlas for Allah and al-mutaba'a, following of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what the Shaykh has said concerning this ayat. And in his tafsir, in the tafsir of the Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'adi, he has mentioned something further concerning this ayat. And for the sake of benefit, we are turning as much as possible to his book of tafsir to take those benefits which are not mentioned here in this essay. He said the meaning of that we would turn to their deeds, whatever deeds they have done, it means those deeds from which they hoped that they would get some good. Not their evil deeds, but the deeds that they thought were good, that was going to bring them some benefit. That which, yani, was the result of their ta'ab, yani, they worn themselves out by doing something, hoping for some reward. It is these deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He would turn it into the likeness of floating, scattered dust particles. Haba'an manthura. That means it would be invalid. It would be in vain. They would be at loss. They would be prevented from its reward. Rather, they would be punished for it. Not only they wouldn't get any reward, but they would be punished for those deeds which have no basis in true iman in Allah and His Messenger. Yani, ikhlas and mutaba. And the reason for this is because it is not based on iman. Yani, because those deeds are from those who have denied Allah and His Messengers. So, the deed which is, the only deed which is accepted, he said, the only deed which is accepted by Allah is that which comes from al-mu'min al-mukhlis, the one who has iman and the one who is sincere in doing that deed purely for the sake of Allah. And al-musaddiq lil-rusul, al-muttabi'u lahum fihi, yani the one who testifies to the truthfulness of the messengers and who follows them in that which the message that they have brought. And here, again, he mentions the same point, that is that the deeds which are accepted are those which come from the person who has iman and ikhlas, and who testifies to the truthfulness of the messengers and follows them in that which they have brought. Sincerity for Allah and following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Shaykh, going back to the essay, he mentioned also concerning this point, that deeds would only be accepted based on iman, and those whose deed is missing the element of true iman, then their deeds would be rejected. He mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verses 103 through 105. The saying of Allah, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَالًا. Yani, shall we inform you, shall we tell you about those who are the أَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا, yani, who are the greatest losers, who will be the greatest losers in reference to their deeds and their actions, who will be the most in loss in terms of what they expect of reward for their deeds. الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They are those whose efforts are wasted. ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ. They have gone astray. So the efforts that they have made in the life of this world are wasted, are useless, are of no benefit. They are those who think, يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ الصُّنْعَةِ. They think, they imagine that they are doing something, some deed that will benefit them, that will bring about some good. They think that they are doing well in what they are doing. In fact, their works will bring no good to them. It will be of no benefit to them. Those who are the greatest losers in terms of their deeds are those whose deeds would be, their efforts would be lost, would be wasted in this world. They are those who think that they are doing something good, however, they will get no benefit. And then the ayat makes clear who they are. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِتَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. It is those who disbelieve. Yani the reason why their efforts would be wasted and would be lost and would not bring about any good, it is because they are those who disbelieved in the ayat of their Lord and their meeting with Him. They disbelieved in the signs of Allah, the revelations that He has sent, and the signs that He has given as indications. They have disbelieved in that, and so disbelieved in the day of accounting, the day of meeting their Lord. They disbelieved that they would be called to account. Therefore, they rejected the truth and acted contrary to that which was required of them. For this reason, فَحَبِثَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. For this reason, their deeds are in vain, or futile, or of no avail. They are lost, they are wasted. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will not give any weight to them. We will not give any weight to them, nor to their deeds on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. There will be no weight. Their deeds would be weightless, meaning that they will be of no benefit for them. In his tafsir, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, and he has not discussed this ayat in great detail, but in his tafsir he has mentioned some very, very important and beneficial points concerning these verses, those who would be the greatest losers in terms or in consideration or in respect of their deeds. He said, this is a warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell the people in such a way to warn them and to advise them who would be the most losers or the greatest losers of the people. In the absolute sense, the greatest losers, he said, they are those whose efforts would be wasted in this world, meaning that their efforts would be invalid. All of what they do, every action that they do, thinking that they have done something well, it will be loss. The Shaykh says, if the efforts that they think they have done well with, the things that they think that they have earned the reward of Allah with, if those efforts would be wasted, they would be futile, they would be useless, and they would not bring any benefit, then what about their deeds, which they knew from the beginning that they were false, that they were wrong? Their deeds which they knew, yani their crimes and their corruption and their sin which they knew was rejected. If the things that they thought were going to bring some benefit and earn the pleasure of Allah, if that is all wasted, then what which they knew from the very beginning that they are batila, that they are false and incorrect and unacceptable, that they are in opposition to Allah and His messengers, that they are against and opposed to Allah and His messengers, then what about those deeds? Then the Shaykh says, so who are these whose deeds would be lost and they would lose themselves and their families on the day of Qiyamah? And indeed, this is the clear loss. He said, who are they? It is mentioned in the next ayat, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ. These are those who disbelieve in the signs of their Lord and the meeting with Him. They denied the signs that were revealed, the al-ayat al-Qur'aniyah, the revelation of the Qur'an, as well as the signs in the universe that they saw with their eyes, which indicate the obligation of believing in Him and believing in His angels and His messengers and His revelations and the day of resurrection. They denied both of these signs. Therefore, for that reason, their deeds, they are made invalid. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not find any weight for them. فَلَا نُقِيمُ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ قِيَامَةِ وَزْنًا. The benefit of the wazn or the weight being assigned to one's deeds, it is in reference to the weighing of the good deeds and the evil deeds, so that it would be looked at to see which one is more weighty. Is a person's good deeds more weightier, or is it their evil deeds that are more weightier? In that sense, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give any weight to their good deeds, then this means that they would not have any chance. there will not be any chance for them. Yani their good deeds do not have any weight because of the absence of the condition of Iman. For that reason, there is no benefit from their deeds, therefore they would definitely be of the losers due to their disbelief in the signs of Allah. After this, the Shaykh says, and the tafsir here is somewhat lengthy, but this is the main point that he is mentioning concerning this verse. And then he says, concerning those who disbelieved in the signs of Allah and His meeting, those who didn't have the foundation of Iman, he said that when Iman was missing, and in its place there's kufr, disbelief in Allah and His signs. In place of Iman, which was required of them, in its place there's disbelief in Allah and His signs. He said, for this reason, their deeds would be rejected. It is due to what? Due to kufr, due to their disbelief. And then he mentions two verses from the Quran, and the verses concerning this matter, and the proofs of it are many. The saying of Allah in Surah Al-Zumar, chapter 39, verse 65, لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. That if you had, this verse is addressed to the Prophet ﷺ, that if he, the Prophet of Allah ﷺ, that if he had committed shirk, then his deeds, all of them, would be invalidated. They would be in vain. They would be of no avail. If that is so of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then what about the other people who commit shirk? Yani shirk, it will be that which invalidates any of their deeds which would have been of benefit to them. لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ. If you had committed shirk, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. Then all of your deeds would have become invalid. And likewise, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 88, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا. Yani, speaking of the people in general, وَلَوْ أَشْرَكُوا لَحَبِطَ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That if they had joined others in the worship of Allah, if they have committed shirk in the worship of Allah, then all of what they used to do would have been of no benefit. All of their deeds would have been lost, would have been invalidated. That means that shirk invalidates, nullifies and cancels all good deeds. The Shaykh here makes a comparison between the effect of ar-ridda, apostasy, the person who goes out of Islam, and dukhul fil Islam, the one who enters Islam. What is the effect of a person who goes out of Islam by the commission of shirk or kufr, that nullifies their iman, nullifies their tawheed in totality, ar-ridda, the apostasy? He said that for this reason, ar-riddah an al-iman, the person who apostates, who disbelieves, who cancels their iman, then this causes the negation and the invalidity of all of their righteous deeds. And if they have done any amal salih previously, then the person who apostated and went out of Islam after having performed hajj, after having performed umrah, fasting Ramadan, and praying the five prayers a day, if they went out of Islam after that, all of what they have done before, it is nullified. It is useless. It is in vain. It is invalid. الرِّدَّة عَنَ الْإِيمَانِ تُحْبِتُ جَمِيعَ أَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. So all of their deeds become useless. And likewise, he said, similar to that, yani in the opposite way, الدخول في الإسلام والإيمان يَجُبُّ مَا قَبْلَهُ مِنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ وَإِنْ عَظُمَتْ. Yani likewise, entering into Islam, embracing Islam, the person who is a kafir and has committed shirk and kufr and sin of every type, if they entered into Islam and Iman, then that entering into Islam, at dukhul fil Islam, it removes and it nullifies and negates everything of evil deeds that was before it, no matter how great it may have been. So the comparison between ar-ridda, apostasy, and at dukhul fil Islam, entering or embracing Islam, is that ar-ridda, it nullifies all of the good that a person has done before it. And the whole Islam nullifies and erases all of the evil that a person has done before it, no matter how great it may have been. And this by the hadith, which is authentic, reported from Az-Zubayr, and it has been mentioned by Ibn Sa'd and Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, has recorded in Al-Irwa al-Ghalil, hadith number 1280, and Al-Jami' al-Saghir, hadith number 2777, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, Al-Iman yajubbu ma kana qablahu. That Al-Islam yajubbu ma kana qablahu. Al-Islam removes whatever has been done before it. When a person enters Islam, the Prophet ﷺ said, this entering into Islam nullifies and negates and removes whatever they have done of evil. No matter how great it may have been, it removes all of it. That is, shows the greatness and the bounty and the favor of Allah for the one who enters into Islam. Then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, likewise, like al-dukhul fil Islam, he said, at-tawbah. At-tawbah also removes whatever is before it. At-tawbah من الذنوب المنافية للإيمان والقادحة فيه والمنقصة له تجب ما قبلها. That likewise, tawbah removes whatever was before it of those sins which negate al-Iman. يعني the sin that nullifies Iman, nullifies Islam, nullifies the person's tawheed, takes them out of Islam. If they repent, tawbah, nasuha, sincere repentance, then it removes that sin. The sin that negated the Islam, tawbah removes it. And they enter back into Islam clean. It also removes the sins which are qadiha fihi, yani which cause harm to the person's iman. And likewise the sins which are munqisa, yani al-munqisa lahu, that means those which decrease or cause a defect in one's iman. All of these sins are removed by sincere repentance, tawbah. The next point that the Shaykh mentions, وَمِنْهَا يعني all the فوائد iman, the benefits of iman, and the ثمرات of iman, the fruits of iman. He said, أَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْإِيمَانِ يَهْدِيهِ اللَّهُ إِلَى الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَيَهْدِيهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Yani also from the benefits and the fruits of iman is that the person who has iman, as a result and because of his iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to the straight path and guides him upon the straight path. Yani he guides him to the straight path, إِلَى الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ وَيَهْدِيهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Perhaps the meaning of it is عَلَى or فِي الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Yani these are two types of guidance, guiding to the right way and guiding along the way, yani giving the person the success to follow that way and to act in accordance with it after they came to know it. And these two types of guidance that the author has hinted at here, yani al-hidayah ila sirat al-mustaqim, this is what some of the scholars of Sunnah called hidayat al-irshad, dala hidayah al-irshad, the guidance of showing the way, what dalala, yani pointing or indicating the right way. It means giving the people knowledge so that they will know the right way. This is hidayat al-irshad. Then the Shaykh pointed to another type of guidance, وَيَهْدِيهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And perhaps he means here, hidayat al-tawfiq. Yani, giving the person, after they know the right way, the success or the ability to follow that way, to act in accordance with that knowledge, and to do what is required of them on that road. So this is hidayat al-tawfiq. Tawfiq, that Allah gives success to somebody. He guides their heart and enables them to act in accordance with the knowledge that has come to them. As for hidayat al-irshad, this is the hidayah or the guidance that is for the prophets and the messengers and their followers. And whoever of the people of truth has knowledge, they may guide the people in this way, showing them the right way. As for hidayat al-tawfiq, this is the exclusive right of Allah alone. He is the one who can give anyone the ability to act in accordance with that knowledge and to follow the correct way once they came to know it. The Shaykh says here concerning this point, that from the benefits of iman is the guidance of Allah, guiding to the straight path and guiding upon the straight path. He says, يَحْدِهِ إِلَى عِلْمَ الْحَقِّ وَإِلَى الْعَمَلَ بِهِ. Yani here he clarifies what he means by these two types of hidayah. It is guiding to the knowledge of the truth, yani the knowledge of the right way, وَإِلَى الْعَمَلْ بِهِ, and also to acting in accordance with that knowledge of the truth. And he added to that, وَإِلَى التَّلَقِّي الْمَحَابْ وَالْمَسَارْ بِالشُّكْرِ وَالتَّلَقِّي الْمَكَارِحْ وَالْمَصَاعِبْ بِالرِّضَى وَالصَّبْرِ. Likewise, from this guidance is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the person's heart so that they accept wholeheartedly al-mahab wal-masar. Yani the things that are beloved and that make them happy, they accept it and they receive it bi-shukr, with thankfulness. Yani when Allah gives them something that they love or that pleases them or makes them happy, they are thankful. And this is from Allah, this is guidance from Allah, that He makes the person thankful when good comes to them. Not everyone is thankful when that which is pleasing comes to them. They might not thank Allah. They may think they are deserving of it, and they don't think of Allah. And likewise, the part of this guidance is that Allah guides those people to accept al-makari, that which is disliked, wal-masaib, the calamities or afflictions that befall them, to accept it bil-rida, being pleased with it, was-sabr, and being patient with it. Yani knowing that it is from Allah, therefore they accept what Allah has decreed, even though it is something distasteful, something that they dislike, yani of the calamities or afflictions that are inevitable to befall the human being in this world. Concerning this, we might note here which is coming later on in the essay, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, amazing is the situation or the condition. The whole of his affair is good for him. If something good comes to him, he shakara. And if something harmful comes to him, sabara. He is patient. And this is only for the believers. So these two characteristics are the characteristics of the true believer. That when good comes to them, they express gratitude, shukr. And when something distasteful that they dislike of the calamities befall them, they are, yani they are patient, sabr. So ash-shukr and as-sabr are the necessary qualities of the human being, the true believer in this world, because every person will be confronted with some good for which they have to be thankful. And everyone will be subjected to some harm upon which they have to be patient. Then the Shaykh says concerning this, from amongst the proofs concerning this matter, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus chapter 10 verse 9, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. Yani the Shaykh mentioned just the first part of the ayat, that verily those who believe, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who do righteous deeds, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and if they believe and then they act on that belief, completing that iman with the actions that are necessitated as a part or a branch or an essential element of iman, if they believe in their heart and then they act by doing righteous deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Then Allah guides them, their Lord guides them, by their iman, yani due to their iman. When the human being does something, then Allah also responds. Those who believe and do good deeds, Allah responds to them by protecting them and by guiding them and showing them the right way and so on. Here, the Shaykh has not discussed in detail this ayat. However, in his tafsir, he has mentioned a number of points. From amongst them, he said, concerning the beginning of this ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and do good deeds. He said here in this ayat, it shows that the true believers, they have joined between al-iman, the conviction that is in the heart, وَالْقِيَامِ بِمُوجِبِهِ وَمُقْتَضَاهُ مِنَ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَاتِ. That they have combined iman that is in the heart with fulfilling the thing that is necessitated by it. That means doing the righteous deeds. Yani iman necessitates righteous deeds. Whoever has true iman, they have to then follow up that iman with the other parts of iman, the branches of iman, the shu'b of iman, that is righteous deeds. And he said these righteous deeds, they consist of a'mal al-qulub wa a'mal al-jawarih, the actions of the heart and the actions of the limbs or the body parts. And this should be done with ikhlas and al-mutaba'ah. Yani that these actions have to be done sincerely for the sake of Allah, with ikhlas, and they have to be in accordance with the guidance or the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is referred to as al-mutaba'ah, yani following or being in accordance with the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as the second part of the ayat, What Allah does, if the person believes and does good deeds, يَحْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ, then Allah guides them due to their iman. He said, بِسَبَبِ مَا مَعْهُمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ, yani that Allah guides them as a result of that which they have of iman, as a result of the iman that they have. Then Allah rewards them with the greatest reward. And that, he said, the greatest reward, it is al-hidayah. The greatest reward, it is not any of the material things in this world. Whether it is wealth, or whether it is children, or whatever we have and we love of the things of this world. He said, أَعْظَمُ الثَّوَابُ, the greatest reward, it is al-hidayah. Whoever believes and does good deeds, Allah gives them the greatest reward, that is al-hidayah. He teaches them that which will benefit them. And then He blesses them to do those deeds which are a result of guidance. And when He guides them, they are able to do the right deeds. And He also guides them to look at the ayat, the signs, whether they are the ayats in the Quran or the ayats in the creation. He guides them to look at it and to reflect upon it and to benefit from it. And He guides them both in this world to the straight way, to follow the right way, and in the next life, Dar al-Jaza, in the world where reward will be given, He guides them to the way that leads to Jannat al-Na'im, to the gardens. So this is what the Shaykh has said. Yani he goes on to mention the last part of the ayat, but what Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di has mentioned here in the essay concerning this ayat, those who believe and do good deeds, as a result of that, Allah guides them. He guides them in this world to the straight way, and He guides them in the next life to that which leads to the Jannat, gardens. Just as a note here, the Shaykh has given some clarification of this point that is mentioned here under discussion now, that one of the fruits of Iman is that the one who has Iman, Allah guides him to the straight path, and He guides him upon the straight path. The wording of this point, he said, إِلَى الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ يَهْدِيهِ اللَّهُ إِلَى الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Okay, that is clear. Allah guides him to the straight path. Then he said, وَيَهْدِهِ الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And I understood from this that perhaps he means here that he guides him upon the straight path. When he reaches it, then he guides him upon that path, because many of the scholars of tafsir have explained the ayat in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, this dua to guide us on the straight path, that it means two things. It means guide us to the straight path, and if we are on the straight path, already in Islam following the straight path, then guide us along that path, to keep us on the path and to act in accordance with the right way until we reach our destination of Jannah. So, I wanted to be certain of this, so I went back to his tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha, and I found that he has explained it more clear than he has explained it here in the essay. In this verse of Surah Al-Fatiha, he said, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, the dua that the believer should make every day in every rak'ah of every prayer, guide us on the straight path. He said it means to show us the way, and then to give us the tawfiq of the straight path. Yani show us the way and then give us the success of acting in accordance with that way. And he said this straight path, it is the clear path that leads to Allah and that leads to His Jannah. And he said it is huwa ma'rifatul haqq wal 'amal bihi. Yani the straight path, it consists of two things. Ma'rifatul haqq, knowing the truth, that is guiding to the right way. Wal 'amal bihi, and acting in accordance with it, that is the guidance on the straight way. And then he said, what makes it even more clear, he said, the meaning of this, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, he said, فَهْدِنَا إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ وَهْدِنَا فِي الصَّرَاطِ. يعني guide us to the path and guide us in the path, upon the path. And this here, he makes it very clear that there are two types of guidance. One is guiding to the path. يعني that is the knowledge, knowing the truth. And the other one is guidance upon that path, and that is acting in accordance with that knowledge. So then the Shaykh says, فَالْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى الصِّرَاطِ, guiding to the path, it is sticking to the deen of Islam and abandoning every other religion other than it. That is guiding to the path. Yani knowing the right ways, accepting Islam in general and leaving everything else besides it. As for al-hidayah fi sirat, guidance along the path, he said this includes the guidance, this guidance includes all of the details of the deen, its knowledge and its action. Yani after you have accepted Islam and rejected every other way, then we have to know the details of this deen, knowing it and then acting upon it. That is, once you have reached the correct path, then you have to know the details of that path. The laws and the regulations and the rules and the advices, the things that are encouraged and the things that are discouraged, whatever Allah loves and what He hates and whom Allah loves and whom He hates, those characteristics which are pleasing to Allah and those which are not pleasing to Him. Yani knowing the details, tafasil al-diniyah, tafasil al-diniyah, ilman wa amalan, knowing the details of the deen and acting in accordance with it. So here, the summary of this is that the Shaykh is making it clear in these two places that al-hidayah is of two types. Al-hidayah ila sirat, guiding to the way, that is the knowledge of the way, knowing which way is the right way and the truth. Then al-hidayah fi sirat, yani guidance upon that path, knowing the details of the path and acting in accordance with that detailed knowledge once one knows it. The Shaykh said that this dua in Surah Al-Fatiha, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, he said it is the most comprehensive of all dua, and it is the most beneficial for every servant of Allah. For this reason, it is incumbent on every person to supplicate to Allah with this supplication in every rak'ah of his prayer. And this is of necessity that a person must do so. Then the Shaykh says, also under this point of the guidance that Allah gives to those who believe and do good deeds, he said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Taghabun, chapter 64, verse 11, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. That there is no calamity or affliction that afflicts anyone illa bi-idhnillah. Every affliction, every musibah, every calamity that befalls someone, it is by the permission of Allah. Illa bi-idhnillah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. So whoever believes in Allah, yani the human being, if he believes in Allah, yani meaning when the affliction befalls him, if he has iman in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. So the person has to do something. When the affliction befalls him, he has to have iman. And if he does so, then Allah will do something. Allah will guide his heart. And this ayat, the Shaykh has given two tafsirs or two explanations of it. One of them is specific to the occasion of some affliction or calamity befalling someone. Then he has explained iman having a certain meaning, and the guidance guiding his heart having a certain meaning, a particular meaning in that situation. And he has given another tafsir which is general, that whoever has iman, then Allah guides him generally. The first explanation, or before that, the Shaykh has said after this ayat, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, that no affliction befalls someone except by the idhn of Allah, the permission of Allah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, and whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. He said that some of the salaf, some of the early generations of the Muslims from among Sahaba or Tabi'een, in this case, it was from a Tabi'i, Al-Qama ibn Qais, rahimahullah, and it has been reported from him by Al-Imam Al-Tabari, with a Hassan chain of narration, yani a correct and good a chain of narrators. It has been reported from Al-Qama, the tafsir of this ayat, he said, هُوَ الرَّجُلُ تُصِيبُهُ الْمُصِيبَةِ فَيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَيَرَضَى وَيُسَلِّمْ. Yani this ayat is revealed about a person, any person, not a particular individual, but any person. Ar-rajul, the one who, when he is afflicted with a calamity, he knows that it is from Allah. Yani, فَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ, it means here, he knows that it is from Allah, and he has faith in Allah, he knows that it is Allah's decree, so, يَرَضَى فَيَرَضَى وَيُسَلِّمْ, pleased with it. And he submits and surrenders himself to it. I mean, he accepts it. Al-Qama, rahimahullah, said that this is the meaning of this ayat. It is in reference to the human being when any affliction befalls him, he knows that it is from Allah. Because he has iman in Allah, knowing that everything is by the decree of Allah. Nothing can happen illa bi-idhnillah. So he knows that it is from Allah, therefore he accepts it. He surrenders to it, and he is pleased with whatever Allah has decreed for him. So the Shaykh has said in his tafsir concerning this verse, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. He said this is general for all calamities or afflictions, whether it is a calamity that befalls the person physically, or destruction of their wealth, or their children, or their loved ones, or whatever is similar to that. Yani any musibah, it is in general for all calamities or afflictions. So all of what befalls or afflicts the human being, he said all of it is by the qada of Allah wa qadrihi. Kulluhu bi qada illahi wa qadrihi. The qada of Allah is his execution of what he has pre-decreed. And the qadr is Allah's pre-decreeing, yani his knowing and writing what will happen. So everything that befalls the human being, whether it is to his physical being, his health or his wealth or his children or his loved ones, all of it is by the qada of Allah and his qadr. Allah has pre-decreed it, he knew it and he wrote it, and then he willed it and he brought it into existence. He brought it into existence by his qada. He said that all of this is by the qada of Allah and his qadr, and the knowledge of Allah has preceded that. Allah's knowledge of it has preceded. Yani before he pre-decreed it and before he brought it into existence, he already knew about it. وَجَرَى بِهِ قَلَمُهُ, and his pen has written it. Yani that whatever befalls the human being, it is from what Allah has written. It is preceded. Preceded by Allah's knowledge, and it is written by his pen. And it is brought into existence by his mashia. Yani it is brought into existence by the will of Allah. وَاقْتَضَتْهُ حِكْمَتُهُ, and it is that which is necessitated by his hikmah, Allah's wisdom. Yani whatever happens, it is not haphazard, but it is based upon wisdom. Whatever Allah willed and whatever he brought into existence, it is based upon wisdom. So here the Shaykh has mentioned the qadr of Allah, his pre-decree, and the qada of Allah, his bringing it into existence. And he also mentioned from the levels of iman and qadr wa qada is knowledge, that Allah had previous knowledge and that Allah has had it written. From the levels of qadr and qada is that Allah had knowledge of everything that would happen and that he had it written. So this is also from the mashia of Allah, and it is in accordance with the hikmah or the wisdom of Allah. Then the Shaykh says that which is the challenge to the true believer. But he said, what is more important than all of this? What is more important than all of this? It is, will the servant of Allah perform his duty, that which is expected of him in this situation, or will he not perform it? Yani when a calamity befalls someone, we know it is by the qadr and the qadr of Allah, by the mashiyah of Allah and based on the hikmah of Allah. But what is important is what will we do when that affliction befalls us? Will we perform our duty? Will we act in the way that is expected of us? Will we be patient and Allah has decreed and be pleased with Allah's decree? He said, if he fulfills his duty, his wadifa, the human being, when he is afflicted with some calamity, if he fulfills his responsibility, being patient in that situation, then he will have a great reward. And he will have a beautiful reward in this life and in the next life. In this life as well as in the next life. He says, that reward, it is what is mentioned in the second part of the ayat, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَحْدِ قَلْبَهِ, that whoever believes in Allah, yani whoever fulfills his duty at that time, having true faith in Allah, knowing that Allah has decreed it and accepting Allah's decree, then Allah will reward him by guiding his heart. He said if he believes that that calamity or those calamities are from Allah, then he will be pleased with it. And he will submit and surrender his affair to Allah. He will not fight against it or oppose it or become displeased with what Allah has decreed. In that case, if he does so, if he leaves Allah's decree and surrenders himself to it, submitting himself and accepting it, then Allah will reward him by guiding his heart, and his heart will be tranquil, and he will not be disturbed by those calamities as the people who Allah has not guided their heart are disturbed. Those whom Allah doesn't guide their heart, then when a calamity afflicts them, they are disturbed, they are troubled. But the one who accepts what Allah has decreed, knowing that it is from Allah and it is based on wisdom, then they accept it, then Allah guides their heart and gives them tranquility. And they are not disturbed. He said, rather, not only that, but Allah gives them, He rewards them with al-thabat, making them firm at the time when that calamity befalls them. He makes them firm. And then He enables them to fulfill the obligation of as-sabr, being patient in that situation. In that case, that person gets a great reward. Now, yani that Allah makes them patient and makes them firm, and also along with that, they get the day when rewards are given. The great reward that would be given in the next life. And this is what is mentioned in the saying of Allah, that Allah gives a full reward to the sabirun. He gives them a full reward without account. Meaning that they would get some reward in this life, but in the next life they would get a more complete reward. What may be understood from this ayat, that those who believe, who accept Allah's decree, knowing that it is from Him, that Allah guides their heart, He makes them patient and makes them firm, that is what is understood directly from the ayah. However, what may also be understood from the ayah, the Shaykh says, rahimahullah, that we may also understand from this that the one who doesn't believe in Allah at the time when calamity befalls them, meaning the person who doesn't accept what Allah has decreed, they don't acknowledge that it is all from Allah's qadr and qadha. Therefore, it is based on wisdom, therefore one should accept it. Whoever doesn't believe at the time when calamity is befall them, by not acknowledging the qadha of Allah and the qadr of Allah, but instead they look at the causes of what has happened to them. Yani somebody has done something wrong to them, has prevented them from getting a job. So they look at the cause, that one did it. He's responsible. Not considering that Allah is the one who controls everything. Nothing can happen except by the decree of Allah. So they look only at the immediate cause. And they don't look at that the fact that Allah decreed it, that Allah pre-wrote it, and Allah executed it, and it is based on some wisdom that Allah wills. Therefore, don't worry about that person. Don't get yourself involved with that person, hating that one who has prevented you from the job, or who has done some harm. Don't worry about it. But what you should look at first and foremost is the fact that nothing happens, illa bi-idhnillah, except by the decree of Allah. Therefore, one should be patient and surrender to what Allah has allowed to happen. Because it cannot happen except Allah allows it. Any sickness that befalls someone, or death that overtakes them, or loss of property, Allah is the one who has allowed it. Allah is the one who has allowed it. If someone has done wrong, they will be called to account by Allah. But it is for us to render and to accept Allah's will, and to be patient in every situation of calamity or affliction. So he said, the one who doesn't pay attention and observe the fact that it is by the qadr of Allah, but who simply looks at the immediate causes, then that person would be lost, and that person would be left to their own self to deal with that. Allah would not help them. And whoever is left to their own self, then that person would definitely be frightened and terrorized. That is the one who would get a punishment now, instead of a reward in this world and a reward in the next life, yani patience and firmness in this world and Jannah in the next life. Instead of that, they would get a punishment now, and a punishment in the next life. The punishment that they get now, it is the terror and the fright and the disturbance that they are subjected to due to the calamity. And that punishment is the punishment before the punishment in the next life, which they would get for falling short of the obligation of being patient at the time of affliction with calamity. This is the tafsir that the Shaykh has given, related to specifically to the matter of calamities befalling someone, and the requirement of having iman in Allah, meaning recognizing that it is the qadr of Allah and the qadha of Allah, and that it is in His previous knowledge and He has written it and willed it based upon wisdom. This is the specific meaning that the Shaykh has given of the tafsir of this ayat. However, he has also given another tafsir, which we can mention quickly before closing. And it is the general tafsir. The Shaykh says that this is, and what has been mentioned here is what is related to the saying of Allah, whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide his heart, in relation to the specific matter of calamities befalling someone. وَأَمَّا مَا يَتَعَلَّفْ بِهَا مِنْ حَيْثُ الْعُمُومَ اللَّفْظِ. Yani, then he said, but as for the meaning that is related to this ayat, from the perspective of the general meaning of the ayat. And we said previously that we do not limit the meaning of an ayat to the sabab or the cause of for which it was read. But we understand the general meaning from it and we apply it to other matters. So he said, as for the general meaning of this ayat, he said that in this ayat Allah informs every believer, everyone who has iman in that which we have been commanded with, having iman in Allah and His angels and His books and the messengers and the judgment day and the divine decree, it's good and it's evil. Whoever has this iman. And then he testifies to the truthfulness of this iman by acting in accordance with what is required of iman. Those things which are essential parts of iman or the obligatory acts of iman, meaning the deeds that are required for the one who truly believes. Whoever has this iman and then acts in accordance with it, then this will be, this is the sabab, الَّذِي قَامَ بِهِ الْعَبْدِ. Yani, this is the thing that the human being can do. And it will be the greatest cause or reason for Allah guiding him in his speech or in his actions or in his every situation or condition, in his knowledge as well as in his deeds. He said that, man, it is the greatest cause. Yani, it is the most effective thing to earn the guidance of Allah. It is having the true conviction, belief in Allah in the heart, and then acting in accordance with it. Whoever has this iman, he said, then it will be the cause of Allah's guidance. And here, the guidance that he is talking about is not the guidance limited to guiding the heart or making one patient at the time of calamity. He said that this is the best reward that Allah gives to the people of iman. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where He informed us in the verse, that He will make firm the believers in the life of this world as well as in the next life. He will make them firm, yani at-thabat. And this is the general meaning of Allah guiding the heart. The general meaning is that Allah will give them thabat. And this, the origin or the essence of at-thabat, it is the firmness of the heart. And it is also being patient and having certainty at the time of any trouble or any trial or tribulation. He said this is based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. That Allah makes firm those who believe. He makes them firm بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ, yani by the firm word, the word of La ilaha illallah. He makes them firm in this life as well as in the next life. Therefore the people of iman, they are the most guided of the people. Their hearts are the best guided. And they are the most firm of people at the time of troubling or distressing situations. And that is due to the iman that they have. So here the Shaykh is saying that the people who have iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a result of their iman, and that iman of course includes the actions of the heart and the actions of the body parts. He said, whoever has that, then Allah will give them a thabat, firmness of the heart, and patience and certainty, so that they would not have doubt at the times of fitna or trial or tribulations, when other people are troubled and moved, Allah would make them firm due to al-qawl al-thabit, the saying of La ilaha illallah. In this world, when they are subjected to temptations, Allah would make them firm to hold on to the right way. And when they are subjected to doubtful matters, Allah would clarify for them the doubts. And at the time of death, Allah would make them firm to remain on His deen. And when they are tested in the grave, He would give them the ability to answer the questions of the angels. And on Yawm Qiyamah, He would give them the lasting reward in Jannat al-Na'im. Inshallah, we'll stop here and look at the questions that are with these points. The first question, what will be the fruit or the result of al-amal? The a'mal, the works or deeds which are not based upon al-iman. The Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, inshallah we'll stop here for the adhan. After the adhan we'll take the questions and any other questions or comments. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam rasulillah. And in the first question, what will be the fruit or the result of the deeds which are not based upon al-iman? The Shaykh in his essay, rahimahullah, said that the deed or the action which doesn't have al-iman, or it doesn't have the base, its base in iman, true iman, then no matter how much a person works day and night to do deeds, it would never be accepted. Yani deeds which are not based on correct and true iman would never be accepted. And this is based on the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Furqan, chapter 20, verse 23, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That we will turn towards the deeds which they have done, whatever they have done, مِنْ عَمَلٍ, any deeds that they have done. And we will turn it into that which will be like يعني, floating, scattered dust particles. It would be useless. It would not have any weight on the scales on Yawm Qiyamah. The second question, how has the author defined the ruh, or the core, the essence of iman in Allah and His Messenger? Yani the iman that is required for deeds to be accepted. He has defined that iman as being iman whose ruh, the core of it, or the essence of that iman, it has two factors, al-ikhlas lil-ma'bud wal-mutabi'ah lil-rasool. Yani al-ikhlas, sincerity for the one that is worshipped, for Allah, and al-mutabi'ah, following of the one who is sent, al-rasool, the messenger. Question number three, explain al-akhsarina a'malan. يعني in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّعُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ عَمَالًا, shall we inform you of those who will be the greatest losers in terms of the deeds, that which they have done, thinking that they will get some reward for it. He said, the greatest losers, those who will be the greatest losers in respect of their deeds, as mentioned in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ الصُّنْعَ. They are those whose efforts are wasted in the life of this world. Yani they are in vain, they are futile. They do deeds thinking that they are doing well, thinking that they will get some reward for it. However, it will be rejected and it will be invalid because, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ وَلِقَائِهِ فَحَبِثَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ. Yani they are those who disbelieved in the signs of their Lord and His meeting. Yani that they would be called to account, that they would meet Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. For this reason, their deeds were wasted. All of the deeds that they did, thinking that they were good deeds, that they were rewardable, they would be wasted because of the absence of the condition of iman, because they disbelieved in the signs of Allah instead of believing in them. Question number four mentioned the comparison which the author has made between ar-ridda, apostasy, and ad-dukhul fil Islam, entering into Islam. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, based on a number of verses from amongst them Surah Az-Zumr, chapter 39, verse 65, لَإِنْ أَشْرَقْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ, that if you had committed shirk, yani offered some worship to other than Allah, all of your deeds would have been wasted, would have been invalidated, in vain. He said that the comparison between الرِّدَّة, the one who commits shirk, or does anything that nullifies their Islam and their iman, he said that it is that رِدَّة from iman, the person who apostates from Islam and iman, it nullifies and negates all of their righteous deeds. And this is the opposite in comparison to entering into Islam, ad-dukhul fil Islam wal iman, which nullifies or negates all of one's evil deeds that have been done before it, no matter how great they may be. So apostasy negates all of the good deeds that somebody has done before apostasy, before going out of Islam. And the whole for Islam, entering Islam, nullifies all of the evil deeds that one has done, no matter how great they may have been before entering Islam. Question number five mentioned two types of hidayah, guidance to as-sirat al-mustaqim, alluded to by the author. The author said that whoever has iman, Allah would guide him, ila as-sirat al-mustaqim, and he will guide him, yani fi or ala as-sirat al-mustaqim. It means here he is referring to guiding him to the knowledge of the truth, knowing the right way, and then giving him the tawfiq of acting in accordance with that knowledge. These two types of hidayah are what are referred to by most of the scholars as hidayat al-irshad, showing the right way, knowing the right way based on knowledge of the truth, and hidayat al-tawfiq, yani acting in accordance with that knowledge. Question 6, explain the saying of Allah, ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله, no calamity befalls except by the leave of Allah. In Surah Al-Taghabun, chapter 64, verse 11, it means no calamity, whether it is in oneself, the body physically, sickness, or one's wealth, or children, or loved ones, no calamity befalls anyone except that it is by the qadr of Allah and the qada of Allah, that Allah has predecreed it, and He is the one who has executed it, and that This was preceded by his ilm, his knowledge, and his kitaba, his writing by his pen. And it is executed according to the mashiyah of Allah, the will of Allah. And it is based on the hikmah, the guidance of Allah. This is the meaning of nothing, no calamity befalls except by the leave of Allah, yani by his decree and by his executing it based on his knowledge and his wisdom and his will. Question number 7, explain the saying of Allah, وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. And whoever believes in Allah, he guides his heart. It means that believes in Allah, yani recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that decreed that affliction or calamity that befalls him. Believing in Allah, it means that he recognizes it is Allah's decree and therefore he is pleased with it and he surrenders and submits himself to it. He submits and surrenders his affair to the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore Allah guides his heart. It means that Allah gives him tranquility and removes the disturbance from him that would be the result of not accepting the decree of Allah. Then Allah enables him and gives him the success of patience, of being patient at the time of that calamity. Therefore the person is rewarded in this world by not being disturbed by that calamity, and is rewarded in the next life on Yawmul Qiyamah for his patience. The last question discussed the general explanation for the above verse offered by the author in this tafsir. The general explanation that he has given is that whoever believes in Allah, meaning Iman in general, believing in Allah and his angels and his books and the prophets and the judgment day and the divine decree and its good and its evil, whoever believes in that, then as a result of that, Allah gives them the greatest reward that he gives to any servant, and that is al-thabat. He makes them firm, he gives them the firmness in the heart and patience in this world, and certainty from doubtful matters, and conviction and firmness in the face of trials or temptations. He gives them firmness in this world and in the next life at the time when death overcomes them, so that they remain on the deen, and at the time of questioning in the grave that they can answer the questions. So it is a thabat in this world and a thabat in the next life. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. This is the end of what we wanted to, what we have time to mention tonight. If there are any questions or comments or corrections from the brothers or sisters, inshallah we can take 5 minutes. The sisters have any questions? Okay, then we'll stop here.